Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. This will be our series for the next several weeks, going through the Lord's Prayer, and it's such an amazing prayer, and especially coming through this moment of God's Spirit moving. I mean, this is one of the fun parts with what Pastor Stacy did. I was ready to step up and do what, so she beat me to the punch. But we can just see and sense God's Holy Spirit at work. And so this will be a fun part. So good morning to those who are joining us online, who weren't able to even venture out, maybe out in the snow this morning, but we're grateful you're with us online. But thank you for those of you that persevered and made it here. The image for this series is a retake off of a picture called Grace, and it actually was a photographer, Eric Enstrom, over in Minnesota a little over 100 years ago. So this is a take of that picture. And it became very popular. I can remember Stacy's parents having this picture up in their house, and I kind of had fun with them. So I think you're figuring out that I have kind of a joker side to me. And so there was parts I remember very early on when I saw that in Stacy's parents' house. I went, wow, I'm surprised you guys have that up. You know that that's actually a picture of Joseph Smith, who's one of the heads of the Mormons, and that's actually a Mormon Bible. So I guess I didn't know you were Mormon. And immediately, Stacy's mom goes into panic mode. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know. And she's all worked up. Oh, I got to get that taken down. It wasn't. But it was fun. And so there's parts as we approach the series, and even evidence of everything this morning is really even a culmination that we could feel for months of what God wants to do in Calvary. And so this is a dip of the toe of where God wants to lead us. This house will be a house of miracles. This house will be a house of faith. It'll be a house of God's anointing for this community. And so we're entering in not only into a new year, but a very new season, and believe that there is so much packed into this prayer, and I hope you kind of can feel how God is building things, because there's parts we walked through the priestly blessing, and there was so much we unearthed through that, because there's parts, until we really begin to believe that God wants to work and bless us and work through and in us, and going through our first Christmas season, knowing that we have a God that's with us, and expectantly going into a new year, this new year, as we step into a new season, I want to challenge you, there is nothing that will help us to advance into this next new season where God wants to lead us than the very baseline of prayer. Apart from prayer, it'll be a shell, it'll be a fake, it'll be a pseudo, it won't be the real thing. And so, in fact, in your bulletin, there is a insert that the Assemblies of God every year has a prayer theme, and they encourage churches to take a week of prayer, and so I'm sure you maybe have probably done that in the past, and I didn't feel led that we had to do something more other than give you these bullet points to be praying. But what struck me, so when I got this email about this, was a little over a month ago, I'd been praying for my one word, my faith one word. So my faith one word last year was expectancy, as I've shared. My faith word for this year is what's on the top of that insert. And I really battled when I saw the email, because I'm like, I literally backed away. Pulled back, going, nope, not going to go there. Just because it's like I wanted it to be original, and And God just started bringing it back, and even got an email from a person in the church that was very influential in just feeling that this area is ripe for an awakening, and as a church, we need to be preparing for a season that's going to come that we'll have no other choice. And so that's where, with the awakening of what God wants to do, and this is some great points, I guess I want to give some definition of this, so, because some people will equate awakening to a revival, and yet they're really different. So let me teach you quickly. Here's what revival is. Let's work with the definition, if you don't mind. Go to the next slide. Revival is when a person, a church, or a Christian institution is lacking spiritual vitality to the point of being spiritually dead, or in the throes, basically like the decline of a spiritual death, and God restores spiritual vitality. Love revival. But we're believing for something bigger. Here's what an awakening is, as defined. A great awakening is a visitation of God on a city, a county, or a region, or a country that affects people spiritually, causing them to turn to God, which changes societal values and social interaction. Pastor Stacy and I want to steward ourselves. How we want to pastor you as a church. We pray that God would lead us to a place that not only to shepherd that church, but then also to be in an area that we would see a stewarding of an awakening in that region. And really, we've seen flame-ups of an awakening occurring across our country. I mean, our last church is still experiencing what I would say is part of those initial ripples of what God wants to do in our country. When I think of things that are happening on our college campuses, moves of God that are just amazing. But it's just the ripple effect. It's just the beginning parts. So pray with us that we would see an awakening. And so my prayer is, then Lord, start it with me. How do I need to be? Where do I need to be with you so that you awaken a move, a consciousness that not only captivates a city, but captivates me? Let it start with me. And so this morning, that's part of why we're running into this prayer series. In fact, let me give you a quick history of some four great awakenings that our nation has experienced. We've experienced four as a country. The first great awakening was in the 1700s, 1730 to 1740, characterized primarily by Jonathan Edwards, who was a famous preacher, and one of his most famous messages was "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And it wasn't that Jonathan Edwards, people were so captivated and terrorized as he described hell, as he preached, that people were literally screaming, gripping onto their pews in fear that they would somehow go to hell and not make heaven. And it wasn't because Jonathan Edwards was this great charismatic preacher. He literally had to preach it looking this close to his script. Power of God was so powerful. His second great awakening in the 1800s, 1810 to 1840, several people, some of the big characters in that, people, men of faith, Charles Finney, Peter Cartwright, many people that just, God would just expand their ministry. Healings taking place. Third great awakening, 1880 to 1910, and we're part of this ripple effect. It's why Calvary's here. Goes right back to this great awakening in Azusa Street, and was the culmination of this. Revivals happening, massive crowds, God moving in that season. There were stories of the Azusa Street revival in L.A. that the building where the revival was taking place, people from the street could see flames shooting through the roof. That they literally called the fire department. The fire department shows up. They see flames shooting through the roof. They run in, and all they do is they see people praying and God at work. It would have been like they walked into our service a few minutes ago. The power of God was so powerful, it literally brought visible flames from the outside. The fourth great awakening, 1960 to 1980. If you just saw the movie that was out last year, Jesus Revolution, Chuck Smith, the Charismatic Revival was part of that. And I have to tell you, that was part of another one, because we got to preview the movie before it came out in theaters several times last year, about a year ago. And I remember sitting in there and just tearing up, because we knew God was moving us to the next season, and it's like, get us there. Because we just know that God's at work. And so today, for us, it's the evidence of where we're going. This morning, prayer is going to be the foundation of where we need to go to say, God, give us a great fifth awakening. Give it to us, Lord. Prayer is going to be the baseline for it to happen. Here's the amazing part about prayer. Prayer is very prophetic. And this statement convicts me. Show me your transcript of your prayers, I'll reveal the trajectory of your life. Show me your prayer life, we're going to see where your life is going. What's your prayer life like? So that's where we come into this passage today, and the Lord's Prayer is seen in several places in Scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Today, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, and we'll look at it as Jesus unpacks this wonderful prayer, and there's some lessons that we can learn as we go on this journey over the next several weeks. Starting off in verse 1, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus says, then this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. One of the amazing parts is that's in this message is by some of the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray, some of them had Jewish backgrounds. That's what makes it interesting. They knew what prayer really was, but they could see something evidenced very different through Jesus, is that they could see the power correlated to his prayer, and they wanted to see it for themselves and experience it themselves. Somehow they saw a realness, a connection, that he was praying and God was answering, and then even as he would minister, the miracles that were flowing from his life, they were stunned at it. And some points when we talk about prayer, and when even looking at this passage, we tend to look at it through our Western eyes of our culture today, and yet if we took a step back and looked at it through a first century Jewish believer, and even look at it what way culture was at then, we'd kind of have another perspective that we need to see. Because one of the amazing parts about the Jewish tradition is they had a prayer that's really made up of 18 benedictions, 18 stanzas to a prayer that they were to recite every day at some point, at least once a day. So it's a long prayer. And they were taught, all Jewish believers were taught to pray this. And so there's a form that many of these disciples are aware of this. And they're trying to get what Jesus' take is. And the amazing part that as we get into this, Jesus knows all that. But Jesus pares down stanzas of prayer and deduces it to what we just read. So simple, but yet there is so much power that it's a break. It'll challenge us on what we will look at. But let's look at that first phrase today, our Father. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And I don't even want us to skip past the very first part of that, our Father. Jesus made prayer not just an individualistic activity. Yes, we all have individual prayer lives, but he's already starting to say, our Father. There's a connection of relationships at work here that Jesus wanted to make sure that was captured. He establishes two relationships, the vertical one with our Father, but there is a horizontal relationship with one another, our Father. And that's what is amazing when I look at this. He doesn't throw down the gauntlet of requirements of what we have to do to access God. And he doesn't make it restrictive. It's ours. This is a message for everybody, all of us, our Father. And even as he's saying this, he's saying it with a room full of people that aren't Jews, our Father. Jesus is breaking down some barriers here at this very moment that I didn't want us to miss. So the answer for what we're wanting to see God to do in our community and to do in our lives, this really starts to flow through here and through our prayers that we do individually, but then also corporately. That's why I love the fact that this church has a Tuesday prayer time, and I'm grateful for several ladies that come on Tuesdays at 10. Almost every Tuesday, we have people praying, and they're praying for needs, they're praying for revival, they're praying for an awakening, and that's part of why over the next several weeks, we'll even include some more prayer resources that will get added to the website so that you can constantly have, that we can expand moments of prayer, not to just only Tuesday morning, because we know many of you are never going to be here on Tuesday at 10. Work, life, all of it. There's no way. But we all will have moments that we pray. And what's amazing is our prayers start to combine together and watch God begin to do a work. So let's jump into our passage and just break it down real quick this morning. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 1, and we'll just learn some things from this amazing part of our Father. Verse 1, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus then goes on to explain in verse 2, Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy, and may your kingdom come soon. The amazing part is Father isn't just a New Testament concept. You can go into the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. The stories of the Jewish people were very accustomed to calling and attributing God as Father. But by far with Jesus, it was his favorite title that he had for God. 165 times in the gospel, Jesus attributes God as Father. And so it's a term that I didn't want us to walk by and get left, especially in our culture today. Because there's so many parts of people that have had difficult fathers, difficult earthly fathers, difficult relationships that it's hard for them to understand when they've been emotionally or perhaps physically abused by their earthly father. This term, it makes it incredibly hard to see God if that's their experience. And yet we can't shy away because of what's happening in culture. God wants us to know that there is an intimate way that God intimately wants us to know him. That our God Father is who he is. Look at it in John chapter 16, because the scripture's clear of seeing God as a loving parent, and Jesus didn't want us to miss this. John chapter 16, verses 23 through 24, at the same time, you won't need to ask me for anything, but I tell you the truth, will you ask the Father directly, and he will grant the request because of you use my name. Ask the Father. Look at it in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. See, the very moment we invited Jesus into our heart and life, we not only enjoy a relationship with him, but we are brought into a household of a family of anyone else that follows Jesus. It's an amazing part, but we're all children of God. We have been adopted. So that, going on in verse 15, so you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we can call him Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. A term, however you want to call it, most affectionately, God wants a relationship, a personal, intimate one with us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And even in the passage that we're looking at today, let's go to it, Luke chapter 11. Jesus goes beyond the teaching of the prayer to illustrate the importance of our heavenly Father. So look at it in verse 5. And then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house and at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine just arrived for a visit, and I'll have nothing for him to eat. And suppose God calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door's locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed, I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for a friendship's sake, if you keep on knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. I think we all probably would, wouldn't we? Middle of the night, you're tired of the knocking on the doorbell or the person hitting your doorbell? Yeah, if that's at 1 a.m, I would get up and say, what can I get you? That's what's happening here. It's kind of funny. But Jesus goes on to say, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And this is where Jesus is telling us, be persistent in prayer. So if you have not received your healing yet, keep praying. If you're seeking God to come through on a provision, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on trusting. He just hasn't answered yet. And Jesus doesn't stop there. And this is where he drops in the important part about fathers. Verse 11, you fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, here's the important part I don't want you to miss. If you don't see God as your Father, you will see him as something else and something less and have a warped, disjointed prayer life and view of God. You don't want to have a disjointed view of who God is. As your shepherds, we will pray that we will do our best so that you never see that. God has so much more that he wants to display in your life and in your faith, in your family. But we need to have a right view of God as our Father. Because if we don't view God as our Father, guess what? You'll see him as an employer, as someone that you work for. God is not, he is holy, he is powerful. We hit it in the message last Sunday about how massive our God is. And even in his massiveness, you need to realize God is not about to boss you around. He has given you a choice and a freedom. He wants our worship and our surrender to him to be voluntary. So God is not going to grab you by the back of the neck and force you to do anything that is not above your will. It's your choice to respond to his grace and his love. Perhaps you'll see God, if you don't see him as a heavenly Father, you'll see him as a cold, calculating, celestial supercomputer. All the inputs you put, that's what you're going to get out. Maybe you see him as that input that the more you keep inputting, That's the extent of your personal relationship with God. It's just tell him what you need. Kind of get out what you want. Do you see God as a chief executive officer of the universe? Kind of behind this big holy desk, making sure all the orders and the events of everything is in order? See, if we don't catch it right, we're going to have a disjointed view of really what God is. And what Jesus wanted to make sure that we knew. We could look at him as God as a genie, kind of pray the right prayer, like rubbing a lamp. Lord, if I say the right words. Lord, help me to say the right words. Come through for me, Lord. God doesn't want us to approach him in that way. He wants us to ask, seek, knock, to come because of a personal relationship. Here's the part that I want us to know today is he's for you. He's a loving God who will not pull the rug out from underneath you to leave you out. That's why Jesus went into that incredible teaching. Like, would a father take an egg, offer an egg, and actually give their kid a scorpion, you know, that would sting them and poison them? No. that's not how God is. God's not going to put you into a place that'll embarrass you, that'll harm you, that will make you in any way take away your dignity. That's the type of a God that we serve. God wants the dignity, the best out of your life. And that is the amazing part that we start to walk in, is into this prayer, is that we are able to know that we have been given access to God as our Father. See, the amazing part is when we invite Jesus into our heart and life to be our Lord and Savior, the most amazing part about it is the relationship that we gain with Him, the relationship that we begin to have. See, Jesus, when we invite Him in, what's so amazing is we receive a Savior. We don't receive a structure. And what I mean by that is we don't receive a system. In other words, it's not a religious system. It's a Savior. It's a relationship thing. It's not a religion. It's totally grace. It's a relationship of a God who wants the best in and for you. So if you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is that He is a Lord that wants to have a personal relationship with you, if you're here today, if you're watching online, and you see God as a God primarily of religion, Jesus wanted to make sure that you knew today that our Heavenly Father is an amazing dad who will come through for you and wants a relationship with you that is so rich, that's so amazing. And His work in your life, when you start to pray, here's the amazing thing. When we see God as our Father, our prayer life is going to go way different. What we believe God for will go to great new heights. See, if we pray the religious game, guess what we'll get? We'll get nice services. We feel good about ourselves. But the power and the transforming power of what God could do is left within these four walls, and what it can do in our community is lost. Our greatest prayer is that what God will do in our services here goes way beyond the moment here. But you leave that transformed life out there. That your family sees a difference about you. Your neighbors just see something. All of a sudden, God gives you opportunities to start a conversation that normally you probably wouldn't have been aware of. But all of a sudden, God and His presence start awakening, and His presence starts captivating people. That's what we're praying for. And this is what God wants for every single person. It's not exclusive. It is not just for a select few. It's for whoever will call on Him today. And so if you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, may I just dare you. I dare you. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss a moment where you can make right that relationship with Him. Trust Him. Ask, seek, knock. Because the amazing thing, God will show up and reveal Himself to you. He wants to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing word, for Your amazing goodness to us today. And God, the work of Your Spirit that You want to do in and through Calvary Church is absolutely nothing going to be amazing. But Lord, You don't want anyone to be left out. And so today, with every head bowed, I ask, if you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, or you know it's grown so cold, I need to rededicate myself to that today. I need to rededicate that He's my Father. And if that's you today, would you just lift up your hand where I can see you, just enough where I can see I'm looking around the room, if that's you today? Is there anyone else? Excellent. Anyone? I want everyone to pray this prayer. If this is your heart today, if you're online, just know God sees you. Everybody say this with me. Dear Jesus, thank You for being my Father, a good God. Come into my life. Do a new work. Be my leader and Savior. Forgive me of my sin, doing things my own way. I give it all to You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you genuinely prayed that prayer, would you make sure you see us? at some point today, because there's parts God wants to help give you. We want to be able to give you a Bible and the resources to help you in that new relationship. And you could even make a note on the communication card on your bulletin and make sure you leave it with us, and we'll make sure we connect with you. Online, you can do the same thing. You can put a message to our Facebook page. We'll see it. But if everybody would stand with me this morning, here's the amazing part. God's wanting to do so much more in and through our church. And really, today, what we experienced was the start. It really was. And as we roll into as we roll into this amazing moment, I just want us to be open to just say, God, over the next several weeks, challenge us as a church, our faith, to trust in Him and to let Him reveal Himself as our Father. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Calvary Church. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to You right now. And Father, we thank You for Your amazing work in and through us today. And Father, this is in by no way dismissing what You've done, but God, we just do say this: have Your will in Your way. Direct us as a church. Challenge us throughout this week in our prayer life to chase after You like never before, because we have a good Father who will do good things to us if we will but pray. So, Father, we invite You into what You're going to do in the life of Calvary Church that is so great, so rich. May we not miss a moment of it. Father, we thank You for what You've done, in Jesus' mighty name.